church is you being here and me being here. How it goes down and how it happens is what the Holy Spirit has opportunity to do or not do. And I praise God that Holy Spirit had an opportunity to touch some lives today that needed to be touched desperately. And I know the children are waiting to go downstairs. But they're receiving right now too, even though it doesn't look like it. Well, Pastor, they're just sitting around in their seats and they're looking around or they're playing a game. It doesn't matter. They're in an atmosphere of God. You cannot help but be touched when you're in the atmosphere of God. And if you don't think we're in the atmosphere of God, and help you. if we can come together and gather as His people, and not just by faith, if nothing else, know that we're in the presence of God because we're two or more gathered, and that where God is, He does things without even having any manifestation, without having any outward display, then help us. When we come together, we're inviting His presence. We're coming together. We're creating an atmosphere for Him to touch us. Come on, brother. Jesus is in the house. And Jesus is in this house, too. If you're sitting way in the back, He's in your house. Receive all that God has for you today. Not just at this moment, but when you go home. Say, Holy Spirit, what else is there that you have for me today? I'll take some stuff and I'll put it in my pockets and chew on it later. You don't have to feast on it all this moment. If you're smart enough to grab something, take it with you and feast on it at home. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. Set your imagination on things above, not on things of this world. Our lives, our minds can be captivated with the imaginations of this world, with the thoughts of this world, with the problems of this world, with the issues of this world. Is that not ever the truth? But don't look at that. Set your mind, set your imagination on God. Picture God answering all the needs in your life. Picture God showering you with everything that you need to live for Him, because it's truth. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you're setting a fire in our souls. Thank you, God, that you're revealing truth to us in this day, and it is making us free, and you're breaking every chain. Thank you, Lord, that it is a happy day. Our sins have been washed away. They're no longer in our face anymore, Lord. Our sins have been washed away. We are white. We are pure. We are cleansed, Lord, from all unrighteousness. Thank you, God. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Do you still want to take him downstairs for a few minutes? Huh? I'll just share. Let me grab my iPad. You guys can have just a quick seat. Because this is going to be good for the kids too. And impact. Thank you, Lord. You could have kept playing, but it's... No, it's okay. Fingers are probably about ready to... Thank you, Lord. Last night... Just getting it out. That's what I'm believing. I've had tons of people pray for me. And I mean, they prophesy, they pray. And you know what? Every prayer is answered. It is. You can't look at the things that are seen. You know, the word is tested, guys. And if we believe that we can just, keep saying truth and it's never going to be checked out, if it's really in our hearts, then we've got another thing coming. Yeah, we do. If you think that you're going to keep saying the truth and speaking the truth, but it's never going to be tested, then you're fooling yourself. I'm fooling myself if that's the way I think. I'll turn it this way. Well, last night, I was talking to Pastor Gay, and I said, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't have any idea. And she goes, well, God does. That's what I always say. So normally I don't even talk like that. I don't even say, I don't have anything, you know, with that kind of like inflection in it, because I had like that inflection in it. That's why she said it that way. But this morning I was realizing and remembering, because I've been, you know, as it sounds, I've been fighting something. And, you know, again, you can say, well, we've had smoke and you started with a little bit of a cold and stuff. And, you know, however you want to claim it, you know, you can claim anything that isn't truth. Because my Bible says that by his stripes I am healed, right? That he renews me as I wait on the Lord, and I shall rise up with wings like eagles. Oh, sorry. Jesse's like, what are you doing? My wife says, use the headset. That way you're not sitting there. Oh, okay. Anyway, so, yeah, run and not be weary, walk and not faint, right? And that's the word. It's truth. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, I think that's the first time actually somebody other than Gay laid hands on me. So, amen, I'm healed, I'm whole, right? In Jesus' name. So, how do we view the circumstances that we're in? How do we view them? Do we view them with our natural eyes, or do we view them with our supernatural eyes? Because we have supernatural eyes. You guys realize that? They're in the back of your head. No, I'm kidding. That's not probably not too far from the truth for a mom there, right? All the kids who got in trouble said amen. So if you would turn with your Bible with me, well, as a matter of fact, I'm just, to make this short, I'm going to get to the part that is the main theme here. Where is that at? And I'll preface it first by saying, Elisha was alive. How many know Elisha was a prophet, seer, and he had the ability to speak to the Lord, know things from the Lord, did mighty miracles. And the Syrian army was attacking Israel. And every time they would go to attack Israel, for you guys who want to write down notes, 2 Kings 6, verse starts at around verse 6, I think. See here? Verse 8. The Syrian king kept sending his bands of raiders to go and fight Israel at certain places. I don't know if their army was waiting to do something. And the king of Israel would get news from Elijah that they were going to be attacked and they would leave. So this happened not just once, not just twice, but many times. So the Syrian king got all of his leaders together and said, okay, who's against me? Who's for Israel? Because somebody's telling my secrets. Somebody's spouting what I'm doing, what getting ready to do, and going and telling the Israel king. And one of them said, no, that's not what's going on, Lord. What's happening is that the king of Israel is being spoken to by Elijah, the things that you talk about in your bedchamber. So he goes, oh, this can't happen. We've got to get rid of this guy. So he sends a whole huge army after Elisha. And I think the place that they go to is Dotham, and that's where we'll catch it at so that we can... We'll go at verse 13. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dotham. Then, therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." So Elisha's servant sees this army of the Syrians and goes, "Whoa, master, they've surrounded the city. What are we going to do?" And Elisha says, "Do not worry. Don't worry, because those who are with us are greater than those who are here right now." Now, Elisha saw something that even though the circumstances didn't show that. Do you guys see that? The servants looking around said, "Whoa, what do you mean?" It's like, you know, and get this. Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. There was a supernatural situation going on that was invisible to the natural eye. And I'm here to tell you, each one of us, guys, there's supernatural situations around you all the time. There's a supernatural environment around you all the time. When you kids go to school, hey, this is your guys' lesson now. When you guys go to school, there's supernatural surroundings around you all the time. You can't see it with your naked eye, your own eye. You can't see it with your eyes, but with your heart, you can believe. Know that Jesus is always with us. Holy Spirit is always with us. And so when we're facing something, we're not alone. When we're facing something, the answer is right there. The answer is right there. The healing is right there. The power of God is right there to do. It says that God has given us everything that pertains or has to do with life and with godliness. He's given us all things. So does that mean that right now, in your situation, all things are there that you need? It is. Just as Elisha had to say, "Lord, open his eyes," we need to say to the Lord, if we're not seeing it, if we're feeling overwhelmed, if the circumstances that we're looking at say one thing, we need God to allow us to feel in our hearts the faith, the confidence, to turn our eyes away from what we're seeing and look at Jesus, look at him, look at his word, look at the truth, and believe that over the circumstances. Okay. Let's go quickly to John 29. There was the resurrection of Jesus. He came to his people, his disciples, and he showed himself. One guy was missing, Thomas. And he came back. I don't know what he was out doing. He was missing. Oh, sorry. Always have to be just right there. John 20 and 29 is what I'm going. You can start at verse 24 is where Thomas is going. You guys are telling me that Jesus was here, but I don't believe you. Thomas was gone. I don't know if he's getting bread or, you know, or fish or something like that. But what ended up happening is that Thomas comes back and the disciples are saying, "Wow, you just missed Jesus. He was just here." Yeah, right. And 8 days later, Jesus comes back. Well, at that time, when he's talking to him, he says, "Listen, unless I put my finger in the hole of his hands and put my, I guess, his hand in his side, I'm not going to believe." So if we go to verse 24. It says, "Now Thomas called the twin, one of the disciples." Go to verse 27. "Then he said to Thomas," this is Jesus, he appeared 8 days later. "Then he said to Thomas, reach your fingers here and look at my hands, and reach your hands here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. What he's saying is, Thomas, don't be not seeing, be seeing. See, our belief is like sight. Our belief is like spiritual sight. It's like even though we can't see it with our natural eyes, we see it in our heart. Is anybody agreeing with me here? Do you know what I mean? It's like you face a circumstance, it doesn't look like you have the answer, but somehow you see the answer. You see it, and that's your faith. You're believing. And Thomas is unbelieving here. He says, unless I see, unless I touch, I'm not going to believe. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Now listen to this. This is powerful. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me with your natural eye, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now this works for us as Jesus. We haven't seen Jesus. I mean, some of us maybe have had impressions of him. Maybe we've had appearances of him in our hearts. But I don't think we've seen him like the disciples saw him at that point. If you have, please come talk to me afterwards because I want to know what he looks like. But anyway, it's the fact that when we believe without seeing, something takes place. There's an empowerment. There's a blessing that comes. Happy, fulfilled, joy comes when we believe that way. See, if God showed us everything, if we were looking at a circumstance and we say, oh, I can't handle this. And he says, well, here's the answer. And he showed it to us. Oh, okay, I can handle that. There's no blessing. Because with natural sight, by leaning on natural sight, you miss the blessing of God. It's the pure in heart that see God. It's when our hearts are pure and looking for him. Listen to this. I'm almost done. Hebrews 12:2. Actually, we'll start at Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Of the right hand of the throne of God. So here we have Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him. Folks, he saw us. He had eyes to see us sitting here. He had eyes to see his glorious bride. He had eyes to see his future inheritance, us, his kinship, us. And he endured the cross. He went through the tribulation. He went through the trial because he saw. Now look at what it said there. Looking unto Jesus. Now the thing is, this Greek word means to turn away. Now we can't physically look, but it means to turn away and set your gaze. We have to physically and mentally and emotionally turn away from the circumstances. We can't keep our eyes on the circumstances. If we continue to look at the situation, we continue to look at all the odds that are against us, we continue to look at every statistic that could tell us where we're going to end up, we're not able to receive supernatural sight. Are you following me? This is the key to walking a walk of faith. Without supernatural sight, we're just going from day to day, hoping we're going to get by. But with supernatural sight, there's a joy that can be set before us. The answer to the problem. And his answers in the Bible, his word is yes and amen to us. His promises are true. So even though it looks like we're here, in Christ we're here. We're through it. But eyes of faith are necessary. Help me communicate one more thing to you here. Help me help you. Okay, here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, if you walk, you have to see, right? You have to see naturally if you walk. No difference. Supernaturally, faith is sight. Faith is sight. It's able to see something that is done. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain, be gone and cast into the sea, it will obey you if you believe, if you see it. Now, I'm not saying like just painting pictures in your head of something up. I'm talking about connecting with God in such a way that the answer is already there, even though you don't see it. You know it. Just like I'm healthy and I'm whole, and I know it in Christ. It's done. By his stripes, I am healed. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus had those scourgings, anyone seen the Passion of the Christ? Lacerated, cut up. And some people say that's not as bad as it was, but ripped apart. You ever seen the part where he's getting beaten with those rods? And then Mel Gibson had the presence of mind to have him, after shaking and trembling, and that looked like they were done, he doesn't. He stands up, says, "You're not done, because I need more. I need to take more so my people are 100% free." 2,000 years ago, my health was purchased. 2,000 years ago, your freedom was purchased. Your freedom was purchased. It is done. We have to start walking by faith, not by sight. You're saying, "Well, Pastor, I mean, you know, when the cigarette keeps calling me back all the time, when it just keeps calling my name, when those packs of cigarettes end up in my pocket, and I don't even know how they got there. Well, how'd they end up there?" And you're sitting there looking at those circumstances, you're saying, "How do I break this?" No, no, no. It's already broken. No, it's already broken. You're looking at something that's going to happen now that's going to break it. 2,000 years ago, it was broken. The habit was broken. Now, by faith, you see that habit broken. Are you seeing it? Whatever. Cigarettes, drinking, lying, cheating, stealing. It's broken in Christ. If we could start walking in who we are instead of who we're not. See, we're walking in who we're not. When we're living this natural life, doing the natural things, following these natural desires, we're living who we're not. When we're over here in Christ, believing God, believing his word, believing what he says about us, we're now living who we are. That's who I'm not. This sickness is who I'm not. This healthy, feeling great, 100% is who I am. One more. Bear with me. Oh, we're doing good. Got another hour. Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Listen to this. "While we do not look at the things which are seen," and he just says, but "we look at the things which are not seen." See? "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at," let me put this in here, "but we look at the things." We look at them. Well, Pastor, how do you look at things that aren't seen? With faith. With belief. Pastor Allen Higgins always had a saying, and I loved his New Zealand accent, "Mike, we need believing believers." How's that sound? Pretty good? Yeah. Believing believers. What a concept. What did he say to Thomas? "Thomas, don't be unbelieving. Be believing." See, your miracle is not far away at all. Your miracle is already answered. It's just connecting with it in your heart. Believing God. See, if we just started believing God, we'd live differently. If we started believing him that we are his children, number one, if we started believing that we're God's children, wow, that's pretty special. And if I'm his property, how do I want to conduct myself as a child of God? Not as some outcast, not as some second thought of his, as his child, precious. He loves us. He's happy over us. Remember that word grace? The root of it is he's happy over us. You say, well, Pastor Mike, you ain't seen my life. He's not happy over me. That's because you see yourself in the natural. He sees you in Christ. He sees you over here and he goes, wow, look at him. Ain't he something? And we're over here looking at ourselves like this. Oh, man, look at me. I'm like this. And God doesn't see us that way. God sees us like this. Clean. He sees us just like he sees Jesus. He's like, oh, man, child, you're great. And we're like over here and like, I'm not great. I'm nasty. It's like, I don't see no nastiness. What you talking about? You look fantastic. No, don't you see all this mess I've gotten myself into? I'm just all messed up and I don't work right or anything. I don't understand. What are you seeing? I see you're amazing. You look fantastic. Do you see what God sees? Not really, because if we did, you guys would all be on your chairs. Because see, God sees such a finished work in us. He sees such, he doesn't see us in progression. We see ourselves in progression. Christ's work is finished from the foundations of the earth. It took the cross, the literal cross, to make it come to pass. But something, before he even started anything, saw you and I as Jesus. And all the rest was just story in between. And now you and I, he sees whole. He sees powerful. He sees glorious. Is that amazing? If we could just start seeing and believing what he already says about us. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things, I added that, you can put that down, at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. What a key. The things that we see with these natural eyes is temporary. It means it's going to fade away. It's not going to have the value that it has right now. That car, that house, that position at work, whatever you want to name that seems to have a lot of value right now because of whatever position you're at in life, soon, and I mean very soon, is not going to have any value at all. Some of you may say, well, how soon, Pastor Mike? You know something I don't? Well, I'm just saying that my Bible says that life is a vapor. That's about it. I'm over 50. I can tell you, it feels like a vapor. We're evaporating, right, Ken? The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, those things that you see with your supernatural eyes, with your heart, with faith, it's eternal. What does eternal mean? It means it will last forever. There is a place in God that you can connect with as a believer, a believing believer, and you can capture and hold on to eternity. Eternal answers. But we have to believe. We have to have the right kind of eyes. We can't use natural eyes. They will deceive us. They will lead us places that we don't want to go. In Christ, we are finished, folks. How many of you last week went to the mirror and looked in the mirror? Anybody? A couple of them. I see some changes in them. When you do that, again this week, I didn't this week, I need to do it again, and remind your heart as you look in those eyes who you are. Because see, it's the window. These eyes are the window to who we really are. You look there and you say, listen, you believe God's word because you are an amazing child of God. And again, if you can't look yourself in the eyes, just say, Lord, you can look me in the eyes. Help me look myself in the eyes. Help me see me as you see me in the blood-washed work of the cross, holy, righteous. See, if we could just grasp that, folks. The name of the sermon is The Eyes Have It. Not our natural eyes, our spiritual eyes. If we learn that our eyes have it, our eyes get it, we're going to move into the things that God's called us to move into. Amen. Stand with me. Lord, I thank you, God, that you're giving your people the ability to see with supernatural eyes. God, that we're not going to look at this temporary life experience, God, and let that say who we are, or let that say where our value is, or let even that say what value is at all. God, we're going to look at that eternal. We're going to fill our hearts, God, with your word. We're going to fill our hearts, Lord, with the truth of who you are and who we are, God. And we're going to look, Lord, with eyes of faith, not by natural sight. And God, you said that we're blessed when we do that. You said, God, we're blessed when we believe without seeing with our natural eyes. So, Lord, I pray for every child of God that's hearing my voice right now, God, that they will start to see themselves, start to see life, God, through your eyes, through how you see us, God. I speak a blessing over these wonderful people, Lord, that you've given me the pleasure of being a co-laborer, Lord, of being one that says, follow me as I follow Christ. I speak a blessing over their lives, Lord. Bless them at work this week. Bless them in their families, God. Let things run smoothly. Lord, where there seemed to be, Lord, no peace, bring supernatural peace. Where there seemed to be no provision, God, bring supernatural provision, God. Where there seemed to be, Lord, an end that seems to have no way around, God, open that door that you said that you would open. Lord, let that flaming arrow come and break every chain, God. Break every shackle off your people, Lord. God, I prophesy they will live this week more determined, more on fire for you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember, you are the church. You brought church with you. Potluck next week. You are the church. You brought church with you. And as you leave with the church. And as you shake someone's hand, the church is connecting with that person. Praise the Lord.